NZ Aero Sports, Icarus Canopies, now Gyro. That's right, we've rebranded, and Gyro is our next generation. It honours our founder, as that's the name we knew him by, but Gyro also marks the start of a new chapter. And not to be biased, but it's going to be fucking epic. Long story short, we're more us than ever. So if you're new to the sport, or even a Sky God Ninja Turtle, welcome. I think our valiant leader Lucy, Gyro's daughter, says it best.
And we still got that fuck yeah attitude. Rebrand, woo!
Rebrand, woo indeed, Lucy. Anyway, head over to gyro.com for more info and get amongst your legends.
I was 19, broke, unemployed, and sold my girlfriend's canopy for drug money. So I thought I better sew her a new one. What a sentence and what a story. This describes the humble yet outrageous beginnings of NZ Aerosports, the home of Icarus Canopies, in the words of our founder himself. From getting a paratrooper toy from his mom, watching parachutes at the DZ as a six-year-old, jumping off the wharf with a parachute made from bedsheets, doing his first jump at 16, sewing his first canopy on a borrowed machine at 19, and starting to sell parachutes out of a garage in 1986, Paul Gyro Martin had an undying love for the sky. Our company started with one man with the wildest of spirits in a true blue sky dream, a renegade. In the time that Gyro created and ran the Icarus Canopies brand until he passed away in 2017, he pushed everything he had to its limits. We miss him and we always will. Gyro is the next generation of NZ Aerosports. It honors our founder, of course, because it was the name we all knew him by, but Gyro the rebrand also marks the start of a new chapter, our next jump. Gyro is the space between sound and silence, art and science, chaos and calm. Gyro is a state of epic tranquility that transcends understanding. That moment, in the door, in free fall, mid-swoop, where nothing but the present exists. A perfect balance of euphoria and thrill. Gyro captures our passion for flying and our commitment to designing break-the-fucking-rules canopies that deliver pilots pure, wild flight.
Hey gang, so I got a new book out. It's called The Upside of Fear, and it's exactly what you think it's about. It's about the good side of, well, getting scared. In it, we talk not only about the science and biology behind fear, but the psychology as well. And it's not just coming from me, it's coming from some of the best in the sport. Omar Al-Hijalon, Jeff Provenzano, Maxine Tate, and so many more have contributed their sometimes terrifying stories to the book to help you overcome your fear. So head to the lunaticfringepodcast.com. You're going to find the link to the book there, as well as the other books. It's available in ebook, paperback, hardback, and audiobook right now.
Coming straight from the cockpit, it's another episode of Lunatic Fringe with the fucking pilot.
Welcome back to another episode of the Lunatic Fringe. I'm your guest host for the day, Ray Kubiak, and I'm here with a special guest. You tell me, who the fuck are you and what do you do?
Oh, man. It's weird, kind of. It's very strange being on this side of it. I'm the fucking pilot, man. I'm the dude that does this. So this right. is a bit odd.
Hey, man. Welcome to the hot seat, motherfucker.
I'll take it.
Okay, cool. Well, you got some tough questions coming up, right?
All right. I have no secrets. Well,
for your fans, we all want to know, Trump or Biden, buddy?
Oh, what do you want to go?
Just play it, dog.
Fuck you want to go and do that shit for?
You know, I saw brought that up because I was geeking your social media and I saw that you did an interview. They were talking about the, I didn't get into it, but what was that? You did an interview for talking about American politics?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. So, because I live here in Finland now, and apparently us Americans that stick around are kind of like unicorns. So they wanted an American's opinion of U.S. politics. And outside of the podcast and anything to do with the podcast, I have views, like pretty set views. And they asked me, so I gave them to them.
Got you.
Yeah. Yeah, but dude, I avoid that shit like the fucking plague on the show. Cause quite frankly, what Skydiver wants to hear about my political opinions?
Not me.
Yeah. Why would you?
I mean, the last time we went through the circus, I didn't, I think you went through a calling on your social medias, like, but yeah. I didn't, what do you call it when you just hide people?
Yeah, you just unfollow them. You don't unfriend them.
Temporarily, just like, because, man, it's a shit show.
Yeah. Well, you're kind of giving away my position, and we're not going to fucking talk about it. I swear we're not going to talk about it. But you're giving away my position, and that I deleted a lot of motherfuckers, man. Shit just gets so ugly, and it doesn't need to be. And I mean, I kind of, this podcast turned into a very positive, upbeat, uplifting, sport affirming thing. And the rest of my social media stuff with politics was just fucking ugly. So I worked really hard to kind of steer away from that shit.
Now we're bringing you right back. Now I'm
kidding. Yeah. So fuck you for starting it out like that.
Yeah, dude, I'm going RFK, baby. Ray fucking Kubiak.
Of course you are. Jesus. I like it. All right.
Ray fucking Kubiak.
Starting a few fights with that.
I don't think you got my joke.
Oh, I got it. I just let it go.
Yeah, I got you. All right, cool. Yeah. So, hey, I had a couple questions just personally. Where did the name Princess come from?
Well, it kind of started out because it was in Vegas, as a matter of fact, same time as I was working with you in the tunnel. I was starting to jump out at Skydive Las Vegas. And I think that was right about the time I got fired from the tunnel, and then started jumping full time for Skydive Las Vegas. And Michael Hawks, the owner at the time, was a real fucking real piece of shit, real prick. But he had never gone off on me, and I'd been busting my ass and jumping really hard and doing all this stuff. But one day, I'm down and one of the packers is packing one of my rigs while we're editing videos and stuff. And I saw him doing something really stupid with the pack job. So I stopped him and was like, no, man, you can't do it like this. You got to do this, 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 and this. And Hawks was just in a mood that day and decided that he hated the fact that I corrected one of his packers and went off on me on a Saturday in front of everybody, just yelling and screaming and cussing up and down and kept calling me a fucking prima donna. And that stuck for a while, but prima donna was too long. So the Brits that I worked with, Simon Wade and Dale Hinton at the time, shortened it from prima donna to princess, which they thought was fucking hilarious because I was still working in the club in Vegas at the time too. And that shit stuck for 27 years is when I got that.
That's man, you mentioned Simon. I think I heard a horrible story about Simon. And like throw up or something. Anyway, we gotta get into that. Or was it Wade?
No, I'm pretty sure that was Simon.
Like a student, like, anyway, we gotta get into it. It was disgusting.
Yeah,
what I heard was foul.
Yeah, well, I mean, the shit that was going on out there sometimes was a lot like those first episodes of Jackass.
Yeah.
Just over the top for a very small audience. You know, I mean, some pretty foul shit.
Yeah, that's pretty amazing.
Yeah.
When was the last time you actually lived in the States?
Well, depends. Do you consider the U.S. Virgin Islands the States? It's a territory.
No.
Okay, yeah. Then it's been
mainland.
10, 14 years.
That's wild.
Yeah, man, because I left Flying Jumpers for CSC, and I went to work for Seaborne Airlines because, you know, you're a pilot, right? You're supposed to go fly planes like everybody tells you you're supposed to. So you got to go work for an airline. So I was ending my time with CSC and was a bit frustrated with the sport and was like, all right, fuck it. Now's my time to give it a shot. And Seaborne Airlines was the only airline I knew that would hire jump pilots, because jump pilots are not taken seriously in real aviation, so to speak. So I managed to pull out a good interview, and I was told by the guy that interviewed me that I got the job when he asked me a question, and I'm like, fuck, I don't know, dude. And,
oh, really?
Yeah. He's like, I'll tell you what, I shouldn't tell you this, but you're going to be getting this job, because every other applicant that I've interviewed, I've asked that question and they wouldn't know the answer and they just start making bullshit up. And you're just like, fuck, I don't fucking know.
I do that in interviews when I'm interviewing people. Like, yeah, I don't really care about what's said on their resume. Like, I'm talking to a dude and I'm like, man, I'm going to have, like, do I want to bring you into my world?
Yeah.
Deal with you on a day to day, and are you going to lie to me on the interview? You know, like, so just come up with some random, like, blah, blah, blah. And they're like, yep. You can see them. And the dudes that are like, huh, that's a great question. I don't know.
I'm like, yeah. Well, I mean, that says something, right? It says that I'm not going to throw a bunch of bullshit and ego in your face, at least not right away.
Right.
You know? And that I'm going to admit I don't know something so I can learn, you know?
Right.
Because I didn't think that I was going to get that fucking job. I wouldn't have hired me.
I would have.
Oh, dude. I got the job. I go to the Virgin Islands. It's like 3 weeks of studying, living in a hotel room, because I've got to pass their ground school and all their testing before I'm officially hired enough, not hired, but hired enough to be taken to the sim in Canada, where I still have to pass my sim training in order to get the job. So I've quit what I've done in Chicago. I'm unemployed. I've moved to a teeny little island in the Caribbean for a maybe. Like, it was my job to lose at that point. I did all this testing and all that shit, but I went to the sim, and through the ground school that I did there and through the sim, I think I messaged the owner of CSC at some point and went, how the fuck did I not crash and kill everybody? I knew nothing about that plane that I've flown for thousands of hours. Like, I was doing everything wrong. Holy shit. So it was a wake up, man. It was a, oh, wow. Okay, cool. So this is real aviation. Yeah, there's some shit to it.
Right. When you have that much pressure on you, not as far as the flying part goes, but the job, you're going to move, you're leaving, you know, this bubble that you've known your whole life. Like,
yeah.
Like, when you first went, first of all, let's back it up.
All right.
How do you go from being a stripper and a tandem master in Skydive Vegas to flying the planes? How does this happen?
I kind of got bullied into it, honestly, because I had gotten, I'd flown 36 hours when I was 16. I was this, just a gnat's ass away from getting my license at 16. But like most 16-year-olds, I was a complete idiot. And I hated the ground school, hated it. So back then you could do all of the flying stuff and you could kind of be lazy on ground school. But as soon as they started making me get through the ground school, I got so frustrated that I fucking gave up. At 36 hours, man, 4 hours away from being licensed. Cut to a bunch of years later, I ended up getting the job in Cross Keys, and a very well-known rigger, jumper and pilot by the name of Mark Cruzy was just starting his flying career at the time as well. And I don't even remember why, but he invited me to go on a flight with him. So we went on this flight together, and the next thing I know, he's like, hey, this guy is coming along because you're going to drop me off to pick up this plane, and then you're going to fly back with him. Well, this guy was a flight instructor, and Mark was setting me up to kind of grease me back into flying. And the next thing you know, I was signed up to continue flying. And I had all my hours, 36 hours count forever. It's like jumps, it counts forever.
Right.
But I didn't have my logbook. So I'm like, fuck, I can't be laying out $4,000 or $5,000 to go get my pilot's license unless I can get credit for these hours. And my instructors all will try. Somehow I managed through luck and circumstance and emails and messages to find my flight instructor from when I was 16. Jackie Clow is her name. I only knew that she had eventually gone to work for the FAA. I found her in the FAA, reached out to her, sent her an email. She had her fucking logbooks from when I was 16 and was able to recreate 25 of the 36 hours and send me an FAA stamped official letter saying, yep, he has these hours. And
Wow.
so I had my private pilot's license in less than a month in Cross Keys.
That's crazy.
Yeah,
That would
man.
be like somebody come like hitting you up and being like, "Hey, you shot my tandem video in '96 in Vegas.
Exactly.
Can you find it?" Like,
It's
no,
funny that you say that though.
no,
As
no.
I sit here on the shelf in front of me, I have 78 Hi 8 tapes and 110 mini DVs. So chances are I have that tandem video from 96.
Right. Right. Yeah, I have all those tapes, no way to watch them. I had like five of the ones that I was most curious about. I sent them to get digitized.
Yep.
But the if you want to buy a little recorder to play those things, it's mega expensive.
Oh
Like,
yeah, man. I was actually gifted this JVC that you see behind me.
oh, that's beautiful.
But here's the fucked up thing. All of my videos were shot on Sony's and
Mine too.
none of them will play on the JVC. I know there's footage there, but they won't fucking play.
Yeah, that's a dick tease.
It's
Yeah,
heartbreak. Heartbreak.
that's heartbreaking.
Not to
Dang.
mention so many fun, like your tandem is on there with Kevin Love.
Yeah.
I have the video for that shit. I have all that stuff. I have God knows how many boobs from the naked jumps in Vegas.
Oh, yeah.
All of them just there, but I can't. Yeah.
We're gonna deviate from your life story for a second. I got a quick question. You just made me think. If you had to pick a superpower, but it couldn't be flying, what is
Okay.
it? It can't be flying. What
If
is
I
it?
had to pick a superpower, but it can't be flying. Fuck, I don't know. Flying is kind of the best.
Yeah.
Like superpower. If I could pick a superpower, it would be the power to know when to keep my mouth shut. I don't have that power.
I don't either, but
Yeah.
yeah.
I consider that a superpower. For people that can hold their tongue, that's a fucking superpower. I can't do that.
Yeah.
I wish I
Oh
could.
man, I was going X-ray vision.
No, fuck all that. I've seen everything I want to see.
I guess you're right.
Yeah.
The power to high jump, like jump as high as you can, because that's kind of like flying. Because
That'd be nice.
you can take
Or
fall damage, you know what I mean?
actually, but you said not flying, but is anti-gravity flying if I can just not hit the ground?
I don't know if anti-gravity would be as fun if you're just floating.
No, but that just means that I could go jump out of an airplane and you just wouldn't hit.
Oh,
Be
yeah.
like, you know, magnets when they repel, you just get close and kind of blow.
Right. Yeah, I guess that's it. Like, I don't really care to take off and like fly, although that would be the mega superpower.
Yeah.
But being able to jump and
Yeah,
then just be
kind of
like,
like
whoa.
what was that superhero movie Will Smith did?
Yeah. I don't know what it's called, but that was a good one.
Yeah, he
It
couldn't fly. He
had
could
a
just fucking jump really hard.
he was really strong, right?
Yeah.
So you when did you start writing for Blue Skies magazine? How'd that come to be? I know you've talked about it in the past, but kind
Yeah.
of was curious.
I started writing for them in, was it 2008? I don't have the magazines here. It was either, yeah, 2008, I think. And it was Kola, one of the co-owners of Blue Skies, I had known from my Cross Keys days. And I forget how we got in touch, but she had asked me if I would write an article on a pilot's perspective of jump operations and what I liked and disliked. And in my fashion, it just became a fucking 1500 word rant about the stupid shit that I was seeing. And it was entitled Pissed Off Pilot. Because, I mean, at the time, working for CSC, I was getting paid per load. So, you know, watching guys, you know, walking around with their dicks in their hands, not getting on the plane and taking their time. Like, I'm like, that's money out of my pocket, motherfucker. Get on the plane.
I'm hungry.
Yeah, yeah. So I wrote that article, and they asked me, her and Laura, the co-owner, told me, be over the top. Blue Skies is, you know, we are not parachutists. We want to say all the shit that they can't say, and be what they can't be. And so be over the top, talk about boobs, use cuss words, do all of that. And so I wrote what I thought was going to be just an over the top, outrageous article. And I sent it in. And they didn't edit
the word for word.
Every goddamn word, man.
That's funny. That's awesome.
Oh, yeah, man. And that's when I knew, you know, I'm like, oh, that was fun, you know. And it was Laura, I think, that reached out and said, hey, do you want to keep contributing for us? And in the 10 years that I wrote for them, she never adjusted, turned down, or removed a single fucking word of a single article I wrote. And I wrote some stupid shit.
That's awesome.
Yeah, man. I mean, like, really, really cool. And so I got to, it kind of morphed into a more of a character, because some of the stuff that I wrote just to be outrageous. Right. So the fucking pilot was a character that I got to play, and it was a lot of fun.
Right. That is awesome.
Oh, yeah, man. No, there was.
So you took all of those articles and put them in one book.
Yeah, so I actually did two books, but it's all the same thing. So the first one I wrote was the fucking pilot book, and that was, I want to say, the first 4 years of articles. And then when Blue Skies finally came to an end a couple years later, I went, you know, I should do the rest of these, but why do a second book? Let's just revise the first one and put them all in one book. So that's the Lunatic Fringe book. That's the one that has all 10 years. And that's why the first one that I put out is no longer available, because it's the same damn thing. I don't want people spending their money twice.
Well, that's fair.
Yeah.
You just came out with The Upside of Fear.
Yeah, which you're in.
Yeah. And I tell you what, man, you got a knack for that writing shit.
It's so fun.
I mean, you ask me for a story and then I send you garbage and then you manage to, like, without embellishing it, made my words sound so much better. When did you know you had a knack for writing? Like, or did you ever know you had a knack for writing?
No, I'm doing it. Like, I'm constantly surprised that anybody reads anything I write. Honestly, I mean, I feel like I get away with it is kind of what I feel like.
Right.
Which I suppose is how I felt about most things. But I started writing, oddly enough, when I was still working in the strip club. Like, I used to take my laptop to the strip club, and for the first hour that I was supposed to be working, I'd be sitting in a back booth writing about that job and how
it was like blogs before blogs were a thing.
No, I was writing a book. Like, that was the first one I wrote, was called The Accidental Stripper.
Yeah, that's right.
And for anybody that's contemplating buying it, it's fucking horrible. So don't. But I mean, you can if you want to, but it's got a lot of really goofy, fun stories that kind of lead to skydiving. But the writing, I read it back and go, oh, my God, I can't believe I thought this was decent. But I sat it actually doing that and writing the book in the strip club made me a fortune, because I'd be sitting back there in a pair of underwear in the booth typing away. And the girls would be coming in and sitting down and doing their thing. And every single night I did that, you'd have people coming over. Are you working? Do you work here? Are you? Because I was that guy in the back corner for the first hour that just wasn't paying attention to shit. And it ended up making me a ton of money.
Right. You were the unobtainable.
Like, yeah, they clearly didn't give a fuck.
You were too cool for school. You were just like, I'm just doing my thing.
Yeah. Well, and it. I played off of that as well, too, because back then I still had 20/20 vision, but I wore fake glasses in the club because I figured out the intellectual thing was working, because I wasn't built like a lot of the other guys.
That's funny.
Hey, you play with what you got.
Really? Because when I met you, you were a brick shit house, dude. Like, what are you talking about?
Yeah, well, yeah, but you didn't see these guys.
Okay. Yeah,
I mean,
from down under, dudes. Like,
yeah, kind of. You know, I'm like fucking, I'm 5'9 on a good day. And I mean, I was in good shape, don't get me wrong, but these guys were, you know, 6'1 fucking Adonis. Like, straight guys are looking at them going, ooh.
Right, you know, right.
They were those guys.
Dude? Who is that dude? You got him a job at the tunnel. He worked, I think he worked with you. He was, I think, from the club.
Did I get a stripper a job at the tunnel?
I think so. Or he might have came after you. Anyway.
Maybe. Yeah.
Well, moving on. Yeah, I was curious, man. Like, talking about fear. Man. All right. So were you skydiving before you stripped?
No. And I think that's why I could handle skydiving.
That's where I'm going with it. Like, man, what is your origin story as far as like, all right, day one, job interview, you go into the job interview to be a stripper, and are they like, whip it out? Like,
oh. Well, so I'll keep it brief because there's probably people that have heard the story before, but the very first, no. Yeah. The very first strip show I ever did was a complete accident. Like, I lied and told a group of girls. Yeah. I lied and told a group of girls that I was a part-time stripper when I had lived in LA. And I don't know why I told that lie, but I thought it would impress them, I guess. Right. And I thought I got away with it for like a couple of weeks until one of the girls that I had this huge crush on came to me at work and was like, oh my God, you have to do me this big favor. Like, my sister's birthday is coming up and I was supposed to plan the entertainment, but I got all fucked up and you just have to strip for her. You just have to. And I did. I was terrified. I was too scared to say no. So I did this terrible show where I basically just sweat all over the birthday girl and dry humped her leg for 10 minutes. It was horrible. Just horrible.
And she loved it.
I didn't think so. I think she was as much of a victim as I was at the time. It was horrible, dude. I was so nervous. I just dripped fake tan all over this girl. It was terrible.
Oh,
yeah. But at the show, unbeknownst to me, was this girl who had a friend who owned a striptease telegram company in Sacramento, where I did that, and told him about the so-called show I put on. And he calls me up out of the blue. He was in a bind because one of his dancers, his troupe, backed out of the stage show that they did in Fresno, California. And would I do the show? And I'm like, I'm literally saying, no, there's no fucking way I can do that. When he tells me it pays $500 plus tips. And I was broke, 21 years old and broke. And Fresno is like an hour away, hour and a half away. So it went from no to yes really, really quickly. But I didn't realize when I said yes that Mark, the guy that owned Masquerade, was a very built, tall, black guy. And so was every other dancer in his troupe. And the club was a club called Club Onyx, where I turned out to be the not just the only white stripper, but the only white person in the club. And I think just because, oh, dude. And
I bet you got paid.
I did. Cause
you were that glimpse.
No, dude, this will date me because you would have been like in diapers when this happened. But I came out on stage wearing acid wash blue jeans, a paisley shirt, and silver tipped cowboy boots, dancing to Belle Biv DeVoe's "Poison."
That girl is poison. Yep.
And I think they must have just thought, oh, we better tip this guy because, wow. And he offered me a job on the drive home, and that was kind of it. I did the telegrams for, 4 years in California and then moved to Vegas thinking, okay, I can quit stripping because I got a job managing an apartment complex down there. And then I found out what real people get paid and went and found the Olympic Garden and managed to get hired there.
Yeah, there's a thing about it. Once you're in the entertainment or even skydiving, you know, like you have a good day of skydiving, it's hard to beat a good day's pay of skydiving.
Oh, man. Well, it was, I mean,
go back to like you work 8 hours and you've made
$75 before taxes.
Oh yeah.
Who's living on that? That's crazy.
No. Well, and when I was doing the Telegram thing in Sacramento, it was all these like 15-minute telegrams. So it's birthday parties all over town. And weekends, Fridays and Saturdays, I would do like 10 or 11 shows a night. Like it was popular there. So, and I'm getting paid, you know, between $35 and $75 a show plus tips. At 21, I went from broke and riding a bicycle to, you know, making really good money for a bunch of years. And then I got to Vegas and went, oh, wait, this is before taxes is what I'm getting paid. Fuck. You know, and then obviously the apartment job eventually went away and it was just the club. And then I finally, skydiving's what finally pulled me out of the club.
Right. So you did your stint in Dubai.
Yeah, man.
Yeah. How long were you there?
A decade, man.
A decade.
Yeah. It was a good run. For you,
huh? Yeah, that was a good run.
Yeah, man. Yeah. I mean, I kind
of. Beautiful. Like some of those shots that you post on Instagram or on Facebook, your early morning flight or whatever, I would be like, damn.
I go back through my phone now and it's just thousands of pictures over the palm or flying to and from the operations. And I mean, it was. I'm a dramatically better pilot and have a ton more experiences because of Dubai than I ever would have otherwise.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was the shit.
Yeah. I was jealous of that. Because like that was at the time, right? Like everybody was out there.
I got in like the last year or so of the golden age of Dubai is when I went out there. And so I showed up to being treated so much better than a jump pilot ever has. And, I was lucky that I had a very set mentality, which was, I can't believe somebody just gave me, I think I probably flew 15 hours free in the tunnel there and had equipment and jumpsuits and all this. And so when that slowly started to come to an end, it was, holy shit, that was a good ride, instead of I'm mad that I don't have this anymore. You know, so it was good.
Coming from gratitude, right?
Yeah, like, man. You know, and to this day, I mean, obviously it was my time eventually to leave. I had a great run of it, but, things change as they do. And honestly, after 10 years in one spot, you start to see the bad, not the good sometimes. But I walked away at the perfect time because I have nothing but good memories left. You know, all the bullshit just kind of fades away, which is nice.
Right. So you've been summoning mountains too?
Oh, I wouldn't say that. I mean, I've gone up there.
What was that one that you did?
Well, I've gone to Everest twice. So the first time was in 2019. And that one kicked my fucking ass. I wasn't as prepared for that as I thought. And so I got this nasty cough and I managed to do almost everything that I wanted, but it was really hard. And so I decided I wanted to go back, when my time in Dubai was ending. So we had shipped all the furniture back and I had planned the trip so that I left Dubai and went to Nepal for a month before I came here to Finland. It was a special occasion too, cause I took some friends along with me, one of which you knew well, Kevin, to scatter ashes at a place called Kalapatar, which is the highest place that you can go, without a climbing permit. And it's just this incredible overlook of a mountain called Pumore and then Lhotse and Mount Everest in the background. I had the opportunity to spread these guys' ashes there. And fuck Kevin, because he caught a gust of wind and ended up in my face, of course. I'm shooting video because I wanted to be able to send it to family and friends, and it's this somber moment. Yeah, I'm letting the ashes go, and I'm like downwind, and Everest is in the background, and it's stunningly beautiful, and then just one puff right in the face. And I'm like, cocksucker, you motherfucker. And then, of course, all I could think is, I bet that was his balls.
I bet.
Yeah.
Tastes like shit. that's crazy, dude.
Yeah, man. Yeah. Memories, man.
What do you miss about the old days?
I don't know.
That's a hard question to ask because, like, we live our lives and like enjoy every day, right? So it's like I'm not reminiscing on the old stuff and like living in that. Back in my day, I used to be able to throw the pigskin over that mountain over there.
Right, right.
Moments, but
I mean, like, I kind of, there's some stuff that I miss. I mean, I miss my joints, my neck and my shoulder and all that, you know. I
thought that was going somewhere else.
Well, no, now I'm retired. I can have as many joints as I want. I kind of miss the beginning of skydiving because it was so fucking exciting and so scary and so new. And I miss the constant improvement that comes with the early part of the sport. Right. And of course, it can continue on more and more and more. But now as an older jumper, I think about all the shit that hasn't happened to me in skydiving is the shit that I don't want to happen, you know?
Right.
And you start to think more risk reward than you do when you're 28, 30 years old. You know, at 54, you go, oh, yeah, I threw my back out getting out of bed the other day. So, you know.
Right.
So I kind of miss that, but and I miss the beginnings of the tunnel because it was so much fun. But we were also out of control.
It was super fun.
Oh, it was crazy fun. But I broke my fucking nose in that tunnel. How many people did we? We didn't break anybody bad, but we sure as hell bent a few people.
I never had anybody get broke, in Vegas, but seen some carnage, for sure.
Oh yeah.
But the I just remember waking up and being like, "What are we gonna do new today?"
Yes.
Something new. Like,
exactly. And that, I mean, I suppose everybody gets that, right? It's yeah. Everything's new at that age and at that point, but it really was because there were no wall to wall wind tunnels in the world. You know, there was no iFly. There was none of that. There were two fucking public tunnels in the US. And we were king of the hill for a little while. I mean,
I mean, there was nobody else really doing it.
No, you know, so I mean, Sammy was pioneering learning how to fly head down by using that gymnastics ring. You remember that, right. You know, yeah.
He had the wingsuit freaking.
Oh, yeah. And Mary and I were training on the board in the tunnel to compete. And man, you were a badass. If you could go up, track up to the window and do a backflip off the wall, you were like a badass.
Right.
You know, and now it's, oh, look at him flying old school.
Yeah. It's crazy how fast that creeps on you.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Real quick.
It's like,
dude, like, you and I have known each other for 27 years.
Yeah.
How crazy is that's fucking insane, dude. How the first off, the fact that we're both still alive.
Right.
Is crazy.
Water, baby. It doesn't feel like 27 years.
No.
You know what? I got a podcast question for you.
Yeah.
I got you on this screen over here. That's why I'm looking over here. Because I want to look at you like I'm talking to you. But I realize that it just looks like it's the side of my face the whole time. And the camera's over here. Do you set it up the camera so that it's above the.
Oh, yeah, dude. This is my bespoke studio, motherfucker.
Yeah, dude. That's nice.
I'm looking at.
You're looking right at me. But
I am.
Can you see us as well?
Well, I'm looking at you. So the way I built this studio was off of YouTube and stupidity. The back wall that you can't see is I've got a 15 inch monitor mounted to the wall. And then I've got my camera sitting on top of that monitor. So I got the laptop sitting next to me so I can do everything over here, but I'm looking at you on the wall. So it makes it nice.
All right.
Yeah.
Yeah. If I'm doing this in the future, I'm going to set something up like that.
Yeah, man, it's fun. Well, this was just fun. I mean, this is what happens when you retire and you can't get employed in Finland because you don't speak any of the languages.
Right. And then my second question, a little away from the interview, I keep getting this box that's popping up on my face. Are you seeing that?
Yeah, it's because you're just permanently out of focus.
Yeah, dude, I got that weird face. It
you know,
looks like it melts together. Anyway, I gotta get that facial hair game. Oh, you look dapper.
Yeah, that's just like, the yeah. Well, I'm you're gray too.
Look. Yeah,
I like going. I like going gray though.
Yeah, I don't mind it. I don't mind it. But man, that facial hair game for me, man. I think I missed the genetics on it. You know.
Well, but you still got the hair on top of your head, right?
Do I? You know what I mean? Like, I think that's a fight and battle. Yeah. I might take the razor to it soon. So
that's some weird shit, dude. I'll tell you what, man. I was always the one that was like, no, man, if I ever start going bald, as soon as I notice, I'm just clipping that shit off. And then I noticed it and I went, all right, maybe I could comb it this way.
Right. I haven't put a comb in my hair in 30 years. Like, I wear hats, I wear helmets. Like, but then you got to go to that Christmas party.
Yeah, yeah.
What the hell am I going to do with this hair? One, I don't know how to style my hair. Like, I've never had a hairstyle. Like, what is going on with this head of hair of mine?
Well, spend your life with your head in a helmet.
Yeah. Do you fight it? Like, because I'm in that same boat. Like, I said to my wife, I was like, I'm going to shave this shit. She's like, don't do that.
Oh, I did for a little while. And
I don't want that. And I'm like,
I kept threatening at the time my girlfriend with, eventually this is going like it's already fading, but eventually I'm just going to cut it off. And then she put a ring on it. And so I fucking did. And I'm like, all right, we're married now. God damn it. This is happening. And buzzed it off and then stood in the mirror and went, oh no. Okay. That's it.
Now you pull it off though.
It's all right.
You got to shave your head and grow a goatee look, dude. Are you a Navy SEAL?
Yeah. Dude, it's fucking funny. I get that all the time. People think I'm military because it's the sleeved out tattoos, the gray beard and no hair.
Yep. That's the look.
I just let them think whatever they want. Yeah, sure. I was a team member.
That's funny, dude.
Yeah, man.
Well, shit. I was Googling questions to ask you, but then I thought I'll just wing it a little bit. Just chat with the dude.
Yeah. No shit.
So Finland, how do you like in Finland now?
Dude, it's pretty cool. So we just got through winter. Winter was nice and long and white from beginning to end.
Is it miserable or is it?
No, I fucking love it. After 10 years in the desert heat. Holy shit, man. The coldest we got was, I think it was 22 below Fahrenheit, and I was in heaven, dude. My wife thought I was fucking crazy because I'm like running out the front door with boiling water in a cup so I can throw it up and watch it freeze.
Doing that.
All that shit, just having a blast with it. And the house that we bought is right on the tip of a forest, so we get proper snow. And 100 yards from my front door is the cross-country ski trails. So I've been really embarrassing myself on cross country skis all season, which is nice.
Nice.
And now that spring is coming around, I've got like 40 kilometers of mountain bike trails out the back door, which is great. So
let's back that up real quick though. Like 22 degrees. That's
below zero.
Like you gotta make your decisions have to like, you could be in a survival situation real quick.
Dude, it's so nice. Like I miss it already because the snow just melted like 5 days ago. I miss it so much. Wow. We leave on Tuesday for Lapland. So we're going into the Arctic Circle for one last trip to the snow.
Wow.
Yeah, dude. It's so nice. It's just nice. And the only downside to Finland is I don't speak Finnish and I don't speak Swedish yet. I'm trying to learn. But if you don't speak Finnish, getting a job locally next to impossible. And I want a job because I want to get out of my wife's hair. She works for American Express and she works out of a home office most of the time. So we're like here together all the time. And I'm a handful. All the time. So I want to get a job locally just so I have somewhere to go, make a few bucks for vacation money, get out of the house, that kind of shit. But you can't do it if you don't know the language. So there's no way I can learn Finnish. It's like a record playing backwards to me. That's what it sounds like.
Right.
So I have to find all these other things to try and keep myself occupied because I write for the Edge agency and I do the podcast and I do voiceover work for a local recording studio here, but it's not a lot. It doesn't take a lot of time. So, like being able to pick up cross country skiing and mountain biking and all that shit at least gets me out of the house and out of her hair so she doesn't want to strangle me.
It's nice to make a little coin too on the side.
Yeah, man. Yeah. I mean, especially leaving Dubai was as high a paying job as a jump pilot can find. Like it's the top of the pyramid for the most part. So yeah, retiring from there and coming here and, you know, just doing the part-time odd job stuff was a pay cut. But I
Yeah,
don't,
it's tough doing that.
yeah, honestly, my mentality is simple. If I'm not dipping into savings, if I'm able to leave that alone, then I don't give a fuck. Like I don't need a ton of money, man. And not being on the beginning side of skydiving or tunnel flying, I don't have a shitload of money going out. Like I'm not looking for the next $3,000 canopy to put in my container. You know, I don't need the new rig or the new harness or the new camera. You know, so it's nice when you're on that side of the spending curve of skydiving.
Right. Are you going to write another book, you think?
Don't know. I mean, I think I've definitely got a few more stories to tell, but depends on, you know, who else wants to hear my shit. I'm trying to field a couple of freelance contract for different places writing. Obviously I have a unique set of experiences that I can lean on for kind of an interesting take on things. So I will certainly keep writing. I don't know if I've got another book in me, but who knows? The Upside of Fears is doing pretty good. I've gotten really good feedback from it, but it also
It's a
has,
cool book.
I mean,
It's
it's
a
got
cool idea, man.
such amazing stories from, you know, so many different angles of our sport that it's fun. It was really fun to be able to approach you guys and go, all right, give me a fucked up story and a lesson that you learned from it. And I really enjoyed that. Like, that was really interesting because one of the things that I've found more than anything doing the podcast is people love hearing that their heroes get scared too. People love hearing that people they look up to had fucked up situations that they had to get past. Nobody wants to, you know, I don't want to know that the badass pilot or that F1 driver that I admire just has an easy ride. That's not exciting. I want to know you had some fucked up shit you had to get past. You know.
Because like otherwise I don't like you.
Well,
Mm-hmm.
it's just like you know, you meet somebody that was born with a silver spoon in their mouth, right? You're like, fuck you, rich kid. I have no
I didn't
respect for
really
you.
struggle. I didn't have to struggle for nothing my whole life.
Exactly. You didn't earn a goddamn thing. I don't have any respect for you. Whereas, you know, and you know this from being a jumper and an instructor for as many years, the people that struggled the hardest that stuck with it turn out to be the best ambassadors for the sport. You know, I mean, the people that were just fucked up students and had a shit difficult time learning and all that, they're the ones that can go to a student and they know exactly where that student is and they act accordingly. And it's nice.
So what do you think you want to do?
Oh, fuck, man. I don't know.
That's a tough question, but I mean.
I mean, well, I'm looking for career number five, you know? I've bantered around going to something silly like barber school and cutting hair part time, something like that. Luckily where we're at in Europe, there's the opportunity to do a shitload of travel. So if some of the freelance writing stuff that I'm aiming for happens, it would mean being able to bounce around and travel a bit for writing gigs. So stuff like that's a lot of fun. The voiceover stuff is a shitload of fun too. I did the biggest project I did was a Red Bull Media House and a Nitro Snowboards project where I did the voiceover for the snowboard documentary. And
That's cool.
that was a shitload of fun. But
What do
that's
they
kind
just
of
give you a script and then you get the mic and then you put on a voice?
So like the studio that I work for has a demo reel that they'll put out and people can listen to the demo reel and go, yeah, I like the way this guy sounds. And these people listen to it and I had a chance to talk to them beforehand. And funny enough, they found out that I was a skydiver And there's a lot of similarities between the mentality of a sport like snowboarding and a mentality of a sport like skydiving. So when they started saying, well, yeah, so this is kind of the field that we're going for, I was able to go, oh, I know exactly where you guys are coming from. I know how to emphasize this. I know what tone you're looking for. And so it made it really easy to just go, yeah, I get it. So that
was that's a fortunate thing.
Yeah. Yeah. It was a lot of fun.
We're all the same. We're the same breed of human, I think.
Yeah.
Just down a different activity.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, especially the snowboard guys that are out just pushing the limits and doing all these radical things, but they're also part of a really amazing community. And that was the thing that I think hooked them too, is I'm like, well, it's more about community than it is anything else, isn't it? And they're like, that's what we're going for. And I'm like, all right, cool. Yeah, let's have some fun.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. It's crazy how at home you can feel around those dudes. You know what I mean?
Oh yeah. 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 No, like, it was
feel like a good feel like I'm at a drop zone, like just hanging out or hanging out with my crew.
Yeah. Well, again, it's a bunch of people that are sitting around going, I can't believe I get to do this.
Yeah. I guess that's what it is. Passion filled people that are like, I can't believe I get to do this.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's pretty dope.
Yeah, man.
Yeah.
So speaking of, I'm still going to fire a couple off at you. You've got a major project that's fucking been cranking. I don't know if you're at a point where you can give us an update, but where's the new shit hanging?
Man, I'm almost reluctant to ever say anything about it anymore because I feel like when I do, I jinx it. You know what I mean? So we got the irons in the fire. You know that kind of crap people that are fake hustling say. But we are grinding away at it. My full-time job is for iFly Virginia Beach.
Yeah. So
that's where my focus is. I can't live too far in the future because it messes up my mental.
Sure. You know?
But Cameron's gone down. I think he does one day every 2 weeks or something here. And the rest of the time he's working on the project. And they're making ground. And he's doing meetings. He's got meetings every week. And
sure.
And man, it has turned into a huge project. Like it kind of snowballed. And here's why. We had raised the money that we raised being quiet about it.
Sure.
And then thought we announce it. Let's announce it to the world.
Sure.
And then the rest of the money will come pouring in. And that just didn't happen. So then we're like, damn, we got to reach out to real institutional money.
Sure.
You know, the problem is they don't know what a wind tunnel is.
Sure.
And they're like, what? Like, it's like too risky of a thing to even for them to even comprehend.
Right.
But they do know what a hotel is. You see what I mean? So yep. It's like, all right, cool. Let's do an adventure hotel where you can come and plan your entire trip with your family. Whitewater rapids on Monday, horseback riding on Tuesday, wind tunnel skydiving adventure on Wednesday, you know, yada, 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 rock wall on Thursday. Shit like that, ziplining through the Appalachians on Friday, you know, and it's the one-stop shop. So they can get behind that because they're all state people that understand that business.
Sure.
And now it's just aligning ourselves. We've had a couple opportunities where we could have pulled the trigger and we decided to that we didn't want to partner. The alignment wasn't there.
Sure.
And you sell your soul to the devil. I'm not trying to jump in that bed. I'm happy about Matt. Why would I go jump in the bed with Satan? Like, I ain't doing it.
Yeah, yeah.
So if we're going to do it, we're going to do it right. And it's just taking time. It's taken way more time than I thought it would take.
Sure.
I thought we would have been there by now. When we originally announced it, I would have expected to be flying in that tunnel right now, like, or about right now. But we've had some setbacks. There's been setbacks economically. With the market and, you know, we're just playing this game.
Sure.
It almost feels like I could see the goal and we announce, and then there was a big old valley in between me and that goal. And now we're like kind of at the bottom of that valley going, damn, but we're still plugging away. Like sure. we're still heading that direction.
Well, word is
timing actually might work. The timing actually might work better.
For sure.
Reasons I'm not going to discuss, but.
Well, I mean, word is out too, because in an upcoming episode, actually to be released by now, I talked to a couple of wind tunnel guys here in Europe that knew all about it. They're like, oh yeah, that project that they've got going out there and the flyaway, right? And I'm like, yep, hell yeah. So, I mean, word is definitely out. There are people that are like ready to book time for sure.
I know. Yeah, I'm ready to book time.
Speaking of, before your project's done, I gotta get you out here, man. Did you know some of the cheapest tunnel time in the world is in Finland?
Really?
Yeah, man. Cost? I wanna say I just had McCarthy on here, not including coaching, it was $280 an hour.
Wow.
Yeah, man. Now it's funny though.
Dollars?
Yeah, no, euros. So what is that euros. Like $300 an hour? But the tunnel is about an hour outside of Helsinki, and from everything that I've been told, it's the Wild West. You buy time and a controller, and that's it. Like, it's turn the fucking fan on and get in. But the facilities are great. They've got a wave there, so one of the surf waves, mm-hmm. and they've got the tunnel, and then they've got rooms and everything, so people will book the whole thing and stay for 4 or 5 days and do big old camps and then stay at the tunnel.
Got you. All right, so I'm gonna turn real quick and talk about fitness.
All right,
What are you doing? What are you doing to stay fit in your gray years?
In my golden years.
In your golden years.
I'm lucky, dude, because I got nothing but time on my hands, so I'm in the gym 7 days a week. I do.
Yeah,
you
look great, dude. Like,
thanks, man. I started doing stairs in my build up to Everest the first time around, and I just got hooked on them. So,
how many fucking stairs you got to do to get ready for Everest? Like all of them?
Yeah. Well, like, at the time, I was living in a 25 story building, and I was up and down that for a couple hours every day. And then by the end of it, I was up and down it with a 50 pound weight vest. Mm-hmm. So lots of that. Now, obviously, I'm not humping the weight vest around, but I do an hour on the stairs at a pretty hard pace, and then have a nibble, and then I lift 4 days a week. Obviously you got to lift around old injuries and shit like that, but I'd like to think I still go pretty hard. And then
the movement's the key, right?
Yeah, keeping at it, like a shitload of stretching that I didn't do as a kid, which is incredibly important. And then I'm trying not to eat shit food, and I don't drink too much booze. I drink a shitload more than I ever used to, but I try not to drink too much.
Right.
That's about it.
And when you drink it, is it whiskey? Is it wine?
A little bit of everything. Mostly it's wine. I like red wine, but it's weird. I could sit down and drink whiskey sours all fucking night and feel stone cold sober, but 2.5 glasses of red wine in and I'm fucking drunk. It's weird.
See, it's weird because I'm probably the exact opposite of that. I could kill a Magnum, baby. That's the big, that's the big boy. You know, and then of some Sauvignon.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
If I have any more, if I have three fingers of a good whiskey, man, I feel that all next day.
Do you really?
The whole next day, I just feel like, why did I do that? Like,
I'm lucky it doesn't get too bad into me, but I didn't start drinking until I was in my mid 30s. So like at all. So I figure my liver is about 20 years younger than the rest of me.
What are your go-to foods?
I'm red meat, man. I'll have a fucking steak for dinner and then another steak for dessert. But lots of salads, lots of like asparagus and all that kind of shit. I don't eat any fried food. I don't do too much bread. Luckily for me, I don't like desserts too much. So it helps. It helps, you know.
Yeah, I could take a bite of a dessert and be totally satisfied.
Oh yeah, completely.
Yeah.
You know,
Yeah.
that and then sprinkle in leftover vanity from my younger days and it keeps me in shape.
Got you.
Well, that and
You taking any supplements or?
no. No, I
No.
don't believe in any of that shit. My only
Yeah.
supplement is a 36-year-old wife.
Hey, man, that helps. Tell you what, boy.
Dude, yeah. I have
My wife's 40 now, bro. I was like, I don't know if I could do that anymore, you
what's the old joke? Train her in for 220s.
know?
Where you and I are both fucking lucky, man. We should both be single and living in a trailer somewhere. Without a goddamn doubt, man. We are
That's
not
right.
fit to be married. We're just lucky enough to have gotten there.
Right, it's that mouth. It's that mouth thing.
Yeah, again, that would be my superpower, learning how to keep my fucking mouth shut.
Right. Well,
Luckily,
I like shock, like the shock and awe, like shock comedy,
it's because
like
it's fun.
because it's fun.
Well, that's one of the
But
reasons that I love the sleeve tattoos, especially in a climate like this, because now I can wear long sleeve shirts, and when we go out for a fancy night, I'm wearing a suit and I have a shirt that has cufflinks. And then when
right.
it's time to get down to drinks, I take off the jacket, roll up the cuffs a couple, and people are like, "Holy shit, he's fucking inked out." Damn right. I like that.
Right.
It's fun.
Yeah, I got a buddy. He when he normal just walking around the streets, he looks like just a normal dude.
Yep.
But he is
Yep.
not a normal dude.
No, none of us are.
He split his own tongue like a razor blade. Yeah,
The
so he's got that thing going on in the tongue. And then word got out that he had a tattoo that he tattooed his own wiener.
I mean,
Yeah.
that's really the only way a wiener should be tattooed.
No, but then I thought, what the hell are you tattooing on a wiener? You know what I mean? Like how much wiener do you got? You know? So then he pulled it out. He got a dragon tattoo on his wiener, bro.
How do you?
Like he got a lot of wiener.
Yeah, I don't have enough hang for a dragon.
Nah,
A couple of
I do an
a couple of
earthworm.
scales, maybe.
I do earthworm. Like
Yeah, no.
it is that was wild. I was like, God, but looking at him, when he put on a suit or something, he puts on a suit, gets done up. Like
No, it's nice.
you'd never guess. Yeah, it's crazy.
Oh
I'm like,
yeah.
that's the way to do it. That's the shock and awe.
Well, that was like when I did the Red Bull gig. Nobody at the studio had ever seen me in anything other than, a button-down shirt and stuff like that, and looking all
Right.
professional. But I'm like, oh, I'm going to meet the Red Bull guys and the Nitro Snowboard guys. So I showed up in a fucking ratty old skydive t-shirt with fucking tattoos all over the place, and they're like, "Yes, that's our guy."
Yeah.
You
Yeah.
know, you play the part, right?
Yeah.
Got
Well,
to do
shit,
it.
I would like to hear you like commentating on some of these sports, bro.
You know, I'll tell you
That
what,
would be
man.
cool.
My friend Reagan Tetlow has
Yeah,
it
dude,
fucking.
you guys co-hosting? That would be dope.
Yeah, but he's got it in the bag, man. That dude
Yeah.
is so on
He's
it
so
and
good.
deservedly so. He should
Yep.
absolutely be doing that. So I thought about it. I'm like, that would be kind of fun to do, but that's his turf, man. He
Right.
has that, and for good reason. He has that completely sewn up, and it's nice. He's
Yeah, I
just.
guess it's hard to, yeah. You don't want to go shitting in somebody else's oatmeal, like,
No, and I mean, we're
yeah.
already talking about a niche sport,
Niche,
and
yeah.
I mean, talk about you don't get much more niche than a skydive commentator.
He's got that voice too, huh?
Yeah, he does. Yeah, he does.
Boy.
I've had him on the
He.
show a couple of times. He's a real gent too. The first time he and
Yeah.
I recorded, we were sitting in my studio in Dubai, and the show was pretty new, and I fucked up the recording. So I had to call him that night and go, "Dude, you know that fucking hour and 45 minutes you just sat in a toilet with me for? We got to do it again." And the guy came back the next night and did the
Wow.
whole show over with me. Total
Wow.
gent. Yeah.
I learned something from that podcast you did with him, and it was always say yes.
Yes, dude.
Say yes.
If you haven't followed Reagan, this motherfucker now is doing three different acting gigs in the UK. He's like all over the world doing fucking everything from balloons to glider stuff to skydiving.
I think I hear his voice in some of these like sports, and I'm like, is that Is that him?
Oh like, yeah, man. I was bummed that because he was doing the YouTube channel for the Air Sports News. I think that's what it was called. But it kind of faded on him. But he was amazing at that. I would love to have seen that take off. Because, I mean, you know how it is. If you listen to podcasts, you're just waiting for the next episode to come out. You know, people binge shows.
Right.
So there's never too much entertainment in a sport that you enjoy. So I would have loved to have seen that keep going, but I don't know if his backers fell out of it or what, because it was a proper produced show. And
Right.
it really good, really good.
Is it still on YouTube?
Oh yeah, you can still find the episodes. I mean,
What's it called?
I want to say it was Air Sports News.
I'm gonna write that down. Hold
Yeah,
on.
man, it was really good. I mean, he had amazing guests on, just all kinds of cool people from every part of air sports, aerobatic pilots, all that stuff. Every once in a while, they'd get desperate because he had me on too.
Yeah. You know what, Steve-O from Jackass, what he's doing, he's got a van and
Yes,
he
traveling around the
travels.
country.
Man, that's so genius. I wish
Yeah.
somebody would do that. I wish I could do that here. That would be fun.
You could,
Go
though.
visit Scott. Yeah, I'd have to wait a little while. Get these
Yeah.
kids a little more grown.
Nowadays, man, the equipment is cheap. You can buy fucking lavalier microphones and just find a quiet place. Like one of the things that I want to do, the wife and I are going to go on a tour through Europe. And we're also hoping this summer to go to Norway. And I'm
Right.
trying to talk her into going to Norway during Speed Week. And Anna Moxness is out there. She's
I love her.
total sweetheart and
Oh, she's the best.
owner of the Edge. She's one of my bosses. And so I want to go invade her beautiful little spot in Norway and then just interview a shitload of people. You
Yeah.
know, I mean, I got to do the interview with Omar Al-Hejlan and the crew from Everest Skydive both years that I was up there because I happened to be there when they were doing the
Yeah.
jumps. It's fucking fun, man.
Yeah.
You should do it.
Yeah, it would be fun, huh? I think
Especially
so.
because, well, you've got such a great angle with the
Oh,
tunnel
sorry.
and all your years in the tunnel, you know? I
Sorry,
mean,
sorry. Hold on 1 second. I gotta put this to silent. I
look
should
at
have
you,
done
man. Too fucking busy to get on the podcast interview you're doing?
that. My bad.
Jesus. Rookie.
You were talking about me. What were you saying?
Yeah, I was talking about you. You should do a fucking podcast, man. I was telling the guys that I interviewed that are doing they're doing a body flight video series for beginning skydivers, all geared towards, you know, what a beginning skydiver should be thinking of. And they were saying that a podcast thing would be interesting to them. And I'm like, there's never too many podcasts. If you're into podcasts and you're into skydiving, there's just not enough. Like, bring on more shows. People want them. I encourage people to do it because to me, it's not competition. It's just another group of people that when that show finishes and are going to be looking for something else and maybe they'll find mine.
Right.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, there's a couple good ones out there. Now there's you, and there's the Gravity Lab guys.
Yeah, man. They've been around a while. They were doing it before me.
Yeah. Yeah. They
And
never
it's
hit me up because I guess I don't skydive anymore. I should start skydiving again. That's where it's at.
I got to get back into it, man. I'm actually this year I'll be jumping again. I had to wait for recovery after the surgeries, but now that that shit's all wrapped up and done, I'm starting to get that itch to go out and make some fun jumps.
Yeah, it's funny because I'll go a couple of years and nobody will say anything to me about it.
Sure.
And then over the last, like, I want to say 4 months, it's just people are like, "When are you going to start jumping?" Like, they keep asking me about it and I keep thinking about it. And I'm like, but if I come, like, if I were to come back, it wouldn't be what they think, you know? Like, I'm not,
Oh no. Well,
my skydiving career was work. Like, it was tandem videos and
sure.
it was working contracts for, military stuff. It
Oh
was,
yeah. Dude, every time I
it was
would
coach jumps. It wasn't go jump for you and have a bunch
Sure.
of fun. It's like, man, I missed out on that and I want to do that.
Oh
So I
yeah,
was like,
man.
somebody's like, "What would you do?" I said, "Man, first 200 jumps, I'm hopping, popping. Like, I'm learning how to fly my parachute again. Like,
Yeah,
give me all that air. Let me make some mistakes. Like, let me
hopefully not kill myself right out the gate. And
Oh,
then
hell yeah. Oh, dude, every time I would get back in the air, I would always manage expectations and go, no.
right.
You don't understand. I got a fuck ton of jumps, but they're doing very specific things. So trust me, I will be the guy to fuck this skydive up
Yeah,
every
they're doing
time.
some complicated shit, and you get and you can get in your own head, you know?
Oh,
Because
sure.
I faced the same thing. First time I came back to skydiving, we did Revolution XP, and I kind of flubbed up this one jump. And me and Ari Perlman, like, we didn't collide, like we were under control, but man, I could see how that could have went south real quick. And we landed, and the cameraman that was filming all of it, he looked at me and he was like, "I didn't expect that from you guys." And I was like, "I didn't expect that from us guys either." Like, I'll be completely honest with you, that was embarrassing. Like, yeah.
Well,
So
I'm lucky in that I got the competition shit out of my system
same.
way back in the beginning with Mary, and
Yeah.
we finished that last competition, and I literally was like, I never need to do that again.
Yep.
And then it was just work jumps, and then when I would fun jump, it was, yeah, guys, I don't do this shit, so let's go fuck something up and have fun with it. And to me, that's the best part about being able to be a skydiver is you don't have to, all you have to do is have fun and be safe. That's it.
Right.
Like
So
I,
what, how did you, when did you get involved with NZ Neurosports? Gyro.
so I think I had a year of the podcast going, and I had Attila on the show, and he runs the show over there, and we had a great interview, and then we talked about it afterwards. And I'm like, so what do you guys think? Would you like to be a part of the podcast? And it's been that ever since. There, we just our brands align really well. You know, I mean, any
Perfectly.
oh yeah, any company with the motto "fuck yeah" and
Yeah.
a guy named the fucking pilot that can't go 30 seconds without cussing, it's a perfect fit.
Yeah, that is awesome.
And they're just fantastic people. Lucy's doing an amazing job, and the whole crew is just a big family having fun.
Yeah.
And they also
Good
happen to make
canopies too.
incredible canopies. So
Yeah.
it's the perfect
God,
fit.
thanks. Sorry, dude. I thought I turned it off.
All good. You're a rookie, but you'll learn.
All right.
So
Well, there you have it. Announced here first. I'll start a podcast.
you should, man. You
Sure.
absolutely should. In fact, that's the perfect way to segue out of this episode by saying you guys need to stay tuned, because what are we gonna say? I'm gonna give you a time frame.
All right.
Say, what do we want to say? Your first episode's gonna drop in.
Oh, you're holding my foot to the
Oh
coals.
yeah, fuck you. You're doing this. So do we want to say 3 months or 6 months?
Yo, when I was doing it for you, it was like it's hard to line up dates with people, right? Like,
Oh, fuck you, man.
I have
If
to
I can
talk to
do
you offline about how you get guests, 'cause
if
like,
I can manage to fucking get a guest a week for what, 5 years now? Shit. So
yeah.
start out easy, man. Do an episode every 2 weeks.
Yeah, you're right. You
It
might
ain't
have some deadline.
that fucking hard. So I'm putting you to the fire. So it's what is it? It's April 12th now. So are we gonna say 3 months or 6 months?
Let's do 3 months.
All right. So 3 months before Kubiak's first fucking ninja episode, you got to come up with a name, got to come up with a logo, all that shit.
Oh shit, I might need 6 months. Ah, 3 months. Fuck it.
3 months, 3 months. All right. So you got until July 15th, and you're going to
Man.
need to record 3 episodes, because you can't just release one episode. You got to release three.
All right, I gotta go 6 months then.
Fuck you.
I know, dude, that's a lot.
That's
That's a
three
lot.
conversations.
I
That's
know.
3 hours, because you keep it to an hour, because it's the perfect length of time for people that drive 30 minutes to the drop zone and then 30 minutes home. It's perfect.
All
Perfect.
right, so we did this. All right, so a little while back, I got on Instagram for a little rant, and did little Instagram rants for a little bit, and said everything I wanted to say.
Yeah,
I ain't
they were
got shit
fun.
else to say about that. It was done, you know. I got people still asking me, "When are you gonna come up with another rant?" And I'm like, "I ain't coming up with another rant. Those were
Dude,
done."
people like that shit.
I
Trust
know,
me, the
I
fact
know,
that
but
I'm blown away that people still listen to this show, and I assume that it's only because of the guests that I have on, because they have heard me talk shit for 5 fucking years now. I stopped listening to me 4.5 years ago.
Right.
So, you know, but it's fun. You know how it is, man. When you're into something like skydiving or tunnel flying, it's not enough to just be a part of it. You want to be part of the conversation, and it's fucking fun to hear about what other people do. Like, I'll sit and watch YouTube after YouTube episode of guys rebuilding fucking luxury exotic cars. Ask me what the fuck I know about cars. Not a goddamn thing. But it's, I don't understand half of what they're saying, but it's engaging. And it's the same thing for people in our sport. And especially when it's conversations where it's not just about the mechanics of flying or the equipment that we jump, but it's about the people that are doing it. It's fucking fun because you always find somebody that you're like, oh, dude, I do that shit. Or it's a fuck that guy. I don't like what he had to say. Either way, it's fun.
Right. And chatting with people is always fun. Sitting down and having a good, wholesome conversation.
Yeah, like you've ever had a problem having a conversation. So don't give me shit that you can't come up with 3 1-hour conversations in 3 months.
Yeah, I guess you're right, but it's the whole logo.
I got nothing whole, but man, I got nothing.
You don't understand when it comes to this computer shit, bro. I'm so far behind the power curve.
Dude, I got nothing but time on my hands. Nothing. And I come cheap.
All right. All right. You're hired.
Yeah.
I like where you're coming from.
So we're gonna
wrap it up.
We'll work it out and we'll put out the to be named Ray Kubiak podcast on the Lunatic Fringe Network.
Sponsored by the Lunatic Fringe Network.
See? There we go. We got a plan.
Dude, we go. Hey, if you're out there listening right now, I'm looking for freestyle rappers in the skydiving game. I wanna hear from you. That would be a fun podcast.
That would be a fun podcast. Yeah. You know, there's a freestyle fucking skydiving rapper. You know, there has to be.
Oh, yeah. I don't know if they're freestyle, but my buddy Agent Led Antonio, man, that dude was awesome back in the day. I wonder if he's still doing the game.
There's a lot of people in the sport with infinitely more talent outside the sport than you and I have.
That's right.
Yeah.
Thank God.
Yeah. Dude, this was anyway, fun.
That being said, Dean, I love you, man.
Yeah, I love you too, man. This, as
thanks
always,
for letting me interview you.
Fucking fantastic to hear from you, and I can't wait to see what comes next and hear the first fucking episode of the To Be Named podcast.
To Be Named.
Cheers, motherfucker.
Cheers.
Sit.
Sit.
Well, there you have it. Another episode of the Lunatic Fringe podcast brought to you as always by, well, wait, not as always, actually. Brought to you now by Gyro. Formerly known as NZ Aerosports, you'll head to gyro.com for their next level line of canopies. By Pussfoot, the Extreme Sports Collective. Head over to pussfoot.com to check it out. By Summit Parachute Systems, check out summitparachutesystems.com to talk to Jarrett Martin and the gang about kick-ass pilot rigs, rigging courses, and more. By Flyaway Indoor Skydiving, go to flyawaytn.com and check out all the cutting-edge stuff to come. By Pure Spectrum CBD, head to purespectrumcbd.com to check out their wide range of CBD products. And as for us, head to the lunaticfringepodcast.com to listen to any of the hundreds of episodes currently available, hit the link for our YouTube channel, pick up your copy of the Lunatic Fringe book or the Accidental Stripper, and get a sneak peek at upcoming guests. Once again, thanks for listening. We'll see you next time. We'll be right back.